And someone's trying to bring that down to the one thing I find a challenge. And I started thinking and praying, and what's the one thing that the Holy Spirit would want us to hear right now, in this moment? Right now, I just started praying to that, and I've got some other thoughts that I want to share, but before I do that, I just really started to sense His voice. And I just believe that the Spirit wants us to leave here, and Jesus wants us to know here, knowing that He is so proud of all of you. He's so proud of where you're at. He's so proud of the journey that you're walking. He's so proud of the battles that you've won. He's so proud of the changes that you've made. And when He looks at us as a people, He smiles.
Yeah.
And it's easy sometimes in a conference where we need to be challenged, we need to be adjusted, but to forget to take a time to know that you are incredibly loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
That as much as you love your children or your partner or those that are important in your world, and the intensity that we feel that with, that is absolutely nothing to what God the Father feels for you right now. You're doing a good job. We came to our conference with the theme strength, and we were able to do that because we're looking forward to a place of strength, but we're standing in a place of strength. You know, we're building on what's gone before, and we're in a great place. But that's not the end of the line. That's not the end of the journey. You know, we're called from glory to glory. We're going to keep going, and there's been an impartation of what it is going to take to get to that place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But right now in this moment, I just want to encourage you, say that. I'm very proud of our churches in Tasmania. I'm excited and proud about you as a people. What is so good when I look around this room is that you know, most of our churches are represented and are here, and people have come with tenures. People haven't just turned up. We haven't had, you know, very few people have just come by themselves. People have come with teams.
Right. Yeah.
That is powerful. That is strong. That is encouraging.
Yeah.
And I know most of the other senior pastors in the place would say the same as me. When you look around and your team are here with you, you think, wow, you know, we can change cities. We can change states. We can change nations if we do it together. We're nothing without relationship. There's a couple of thoughts I want to share with you. Paul made a comment the first night, and he said that there is a margin where gold medals are won. I grew up with people like you did, and sometimes you grew up at school with, you know, some very, very talented people. And I can remember some guys that were incredibly talented at nearly anything that they put their mind or their hand to, and you know, some of them were incredible athletes, and perhaps had the DNA to win gold medals, had the DNA, had what it took to go right to the very top. But most of them didn't, and haven't, because they actually never stepped into that margin where gold medals are won. A number of years ago, when I started riding a bit more, and one of the first sort of big rides I did that was a little bit more competitive was a ride that we did from Devonport here to Strawn. And there's a moment in any journey where you need to press into a margin. Anyway, the journey sort of took us, you know, over Mount Claude and down through Sathana and Moena and then down to the west coast from there. And we're riding up out of Rosebery on the other side after climbing Mount Black and all that. And there was I think Mark Anderson was on that ride. And he was in a small bunch of guys that had gone off the front, to use a biking term. And then there was sort of another bunch that we were in, and I actually thought we could chase his bunch down, and we never did. But there was this moment coming out of Rosebery where we were climbing just yet another hill, and the pace in that group had gone up, and I was at the edge of my margin. I was on my limit. I was in what we call the red zone. And in sporting terms, you can only operate in the red zone for a very short period of time. If you try and ride a whole ride, or if you try and function in that red zone for too long, you will blow up and you won't finish. Doesn't matter how good you are, you just, you know, physiologically you can't do that. But there was a moment where it had gone up, and I was hurting pretty badly. But what I did know was that if I didn't get over that hill with that bunch, I was going to have a long ride by myself, and it was going to be a lot slower. And I remember pressing in and being determined that I was going to.
Yeah.
I knew that I could press into that red zone just for long enough to get over that hill, and hang with that bunch. And then I knew there would be some recovery time. And you know, we got to the end, I think a little bit behind Mark's group. But there were a couple of other people. One of my riding mates was in that same bunch, and he got what we call in cycling dropped in that moment. And he finished. He finished about half an hour behind the bunch that I was in. The margin where that was realised was a 30-second margin. And so much of ministry actually happens in those small margins, where you have this small window of opportunity to make a right decision or a wrong decision, or to press in a moment, and so often those moments have something that will define where we go forward. You see, God has never called you to function in a red zone. He's never called you to function and live where you can't live. But you know what? There are times that he's actually going to call you just to press in and live a little bit longer, just so that you can be in the group, the bunch, the next step, the next season that he's called you to live. And we've heard some amazing stuff from Paul. I just want you to think about it as we go from here. What's some of the margin that's actually going to take us into that place of adjustment? What's that thing for us? Because I guarantee it's uncomfortable and it hurts, but it doesn't have to hurt forever.
Yeah.
It only actually has to hurt for a little period of time that will actually propel you into what God has next for you.
Yeah, it's good, Dave.
So what is that? And as Gus was challenging us here now, I wrote a couple of things down. And when you need to make an adjustment, what is it, as Mark says, that makes it come off rather than it just being a good idea or something that you've got inspired a little bit about? And for me, it was two things. It was write it down and tell somebody. Write it down and tell somebody. So as you go from here, I want us, as ACC people, to work out, you know, what it is. We're going to go to a place of strength, and I'd love to keep talking vision and sharing that, and I'll talk just a wee bit in a sec, but we won't get there unless we take some of this and we all move into that place of strength. So what is that margin? What are you going to write down? What are you going to share with somebody? What areas of your life are you going to make yourself accountable so that those adjustments can happen? And I think Sue may touch on some of those things as we go forward in more practical ways. We as a movement, that's why I talk about these zones, because to actually go where we're called to go, we've got to be prepared to do those things. And we're nothing without relationship. And one of the things that I'm proud about is that over the last number of years that we've actually seen our relationship as ACC people in the state really, really, really build. But what is it that we perhaps need to be able to lay down a little bit to take that to the next level, to make ourselves accountable, to allow people to do the journey with us, to actually not just talk about discipleship and not just feel like we want it in our church, but as leaders, model discipleship. What does it take? You know, what does it take for me? I've got we've had a lot of talk about the Timothys in our world, and I've got some great Timothys here in my world, and Dan here would be probably number one example. But why has Dan been able to walk that journey? Because I think that's actually more about Dan than it is about me, to use that terminology, the Paul thing. Because initially, Dan and I, how long have we regularly caught up for it now, Dan? It'd be about 5 years, wouldn't it?
Five years.
Yeah. So like we started, you know, having breakfast together once a week, going back 5 years or something like that. But the thing about that is, and we've been to some incredibly hard places, and we've talked about anything you can think of. But Dan continues to put himself in a place where he's wanting to listen and wanting to hear, and even when he hasn't liked what I've had to say at times, and even when I've been wrong, even when I mightn't have done it the right way, all those things, he comes back. So he said discipleship is so much about being prepared to follow. And we get that in the church sense, but as senior pastors, as leaders, let's understand what it takes to take on that Timothy mindset. See, we've got as a movement a whole lot of things that we can help you with as far as church health goes, but it's absolutely nothing if it's not relationship. Yeah. See, we've got Joel Bell on a national level has been spearheading church health, and he's given us some great tools. He's given us all sorts of things, some stuff that helps us measure our churches and look at how we're going and all that. And those things are actually very powerful. But what they do is they help us to have good conversations about where we go with that. But they don't work outside of relationship.
Yeah.
So some of those things, you can feel like there's a big brother component to it, but it's not what we're about. It's actually just about us being willing to be accountable and knowing that you've got somebody that believes in you and wants you to succeed and wants you to go forward. So as we look at a big rock there on the screen and want to see, you know, a foundation of strength, it's actually going to take us stepping into some new margins, some new levels of accountability, putting some stuff down, forgetting about the fact that we feel insecure about this or that. Paul de Jong will tell you that we're all insecure. The thing is, our security is not in us, it's in Christ. So let's just put some stuff down, and I keep saying this, but we're doing it, and we're getting there, and we're going to keep doing it, and we're going to run this race together. And, you know, in 10 years, I see that as a movement, we'll be able to look back and say, you know, what we have been part of reshaping our state, reshaping values, reshaping society, and seeing a whole lot of lives changed and people set free, families healed, people put back together, people saved. We can do it. I can't think of in a room amongst friends, but I can't think of another movement in our state that's better positioned to be able to do what I've just said than we are. So let's step into that margin. The pain's not going to be forever. It's just going to be for short periods of time, but it's going to define where we go in the future. So let's do it. We can do it. We are doing it. And going back to where I started, you know what? God is proud of you guys. As an executive team, we're proud of you guys. We're doing a great job. But you know what? We don't stop there. We continue to go forward to where we're called to go. and we can do that. Just in a couple of minutes I've got now, I've asked Pete Shirley, we've heard just from different people during the course of the conference on what's happening. You know, you've heard a bit about, you know, our world and Mark's world and Matt's and so forth. But Pete, just tell us some of the things that are happening at Life Church, because you have got a great team here with you. That is so good. So just encourage us a little bit.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to. It's been an outstanding conference, and I want to say a couple of things. First of all, we are the custodians currently in this season in history of the Risby Street property in Ulverston. And I know there's a whole bunch of people that have got a heap of history with that place. And one of the exciting things that's happened for us, and it's been a dream for a few years, to do a full refurbishment of that building. And that started this year. We finished stage one, which is a whole new office and admin section. And then we're about to launch into stage two, which is a total refurbishment of the rest of the building. And then the third stage, trying to raise money for a car park. Good luck with that. But that'll be that's the third stage. But I just wanted to say that from the outset, because I realise, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. So a huge thank you, and some of those are in the room that have just pioneered that work, and that kingdom work continues. Oh, there's Danny over there, and there are others as well, and Mark Greeny, and they're absolutely awesome. So that's something really exciting for us as a church. We start each year now with a conference, an internal conference, which is just to sort of set the year out before our folk. And this year, as we were preparing for that, I just said, well, Lord, what is it? What's the word that you would have me bring to kind of set the tone for the year? And God took me to Ezekiel 22 and 30, which is common, well known to all of us. I look for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. And as I kind of started to unpack that, the thing that the Lord brought to me was, there's two elements to this. There's a doing and there's a being. You know, to build the wall, but also to stand in the gap. And this really became the focus. You know, we can get so focused on doing that we forget about the being. And in defining that more clearly, God said it's about presence. The being is about presence. And so for us this year, there has been a sense of what is it to carry the presence of God wherever we are? Doing is about activity. Doing is about geography. Doing is about, you know, stated outcomes and something that's very tangible. Being is about presence. And we carry, as God's people, the presence of God with us wherever we go. And for me, that was just a shift in thinking and a shift in focus. Yes, the doing is important, but we have far greater impact in being. And that means that wherever we go, God says, I have access because you are there.
Yeah.
We're a set-up, pull-down church. We meet at East Ulverston Primary School, and we've had a great relationship for the whole time that we've been there. And there's been a lot of doing in the context of our partnership with that school. But this just brought a new challenge. So I went and sat with the principal, and I said, what is the greatest thing that we can bring? Not the greatest thing we can do. What's the greatest thing that we can bring? And so it just inspired some creative thinking. And he said, you know what? One of the greatest needs we have is just to have a presence of people in the playground at lunchtime. Uh-huh. Now, this is really simple stuff. He said, our teachers are hammered in the confines of a classroom setting. The behaviour is governed. The kids kind of... But you set them free at lunchtime and it just goes crazy. And the teachers are stressed and they're under-resourced. There's not enough of them out there. And I said, done. And so we just launched an initiative called Life at Play, and every single day of every school week, we have a team going to the high school, into the school at lunchtime, just to engage the kids. It's not about doing; it's about presence. It's about being. And you know, it was just so cool. I said to the principal, I said, "You need to know," and I'm praying with him regularly now, which is absolutely awesome. But I said, "You need to know that we do have an agenda. The thing is, you won't know it." Our agenda is we believe we can shift something in the atmosphere and environment, particularly around that lunchtime stuff. Amazingly, to the glory of God, the testimony that's come back from teachers time and time again, that this is, something has changed. Something has changed. Something has changed. Praise God. Now, here's the cool thing. Just having that presence, just being, God saying, because you're there, I have access. And the principals started talking about chaplaincy. Can we get a chaplain in the school? Can we get a chaplain in the school? And so we're teasing this idea out, and just a little while ago he came to me and said, you know what? He said, we've made a decision as a school that for next year, 2018, all the revenue that we are receiving from your church being here, we're going to plough back into chaplaincy. And we want to create a model that is not dependent upon the government money, because we want there to be able to be spiritual input. So, absolutely awesome. So for us as a church, that's an exciting opportunity. And it's so simple. And it's not about doing. We're not going in and running RE. We don't have that opportunity, but we have the opportunity to go and be the presence. To go and just say, God has access because we're here. So for us, that's a huge win, and that's just spurring us on to bigger and better things. Praise God.
Well done, Pete. Dermot, come and just encourage us. You guys have, at the end of a journey that's just been challenging, in a building, and got some great opportunities. Had an awards night recently. So, yeah, just tell us how you're connecting with the community.
Excellent. Thanks, Dave. Actually, we could just repeat what Pete just said, and his word presence is the number one word that we've been really focusing on, because over the last 7.5 years, we've had a really interesting journey. You know, oftentimes when people talk in church settings, we like to talk about how we went from bigger to better, and it was a constant upward sort of journey. For us, 7.5 years ago, we crossed over the river with a lot of momentum to the other side of the Eastern Shore area in Hobart, thinking that this is where God wanted us to be. We had 100% buy-in, and then we hit a brick wall, and everything just sort of came to a screeching halt. And for 5.5 years, we were just swinging in the breeze, wondering what we were doing, why we were there, and we had to really focus on the main game. The main game for a church is Jesus and people. We had no community that we could reach out to, because the Baptist church that we were hiring a venue from, they said to us, look, we don't want you to do anything in the area because we're a little bit worried. So we weren't doing any outreach. We weren't doing anything in that community. And then about 2 years ago, it all turned around, and we ended up buying 5 acres of land with a old pub on it in the middle of a really low socioeconomic area in Hobart. On the Eastern Shore there, Clarendonvale and Rokeby, and we moved into this community, and finally we actually had some place that we could start to have presence in. And what we've done over the last 1.5 years is just simply gotten out and gotten involved. And what that's looked like, sometimes people talk about, you know, how do you impact the community? Well, the only way you can impact the community is with your presence. And it's actually really, really simple. It's not rocket science. You just got to be with people. See, Jesus came to the earth. He was Emmanuel, God with us. So if we want to go into all the world, the first step is that we actually have to go to where people are. And you don't have to tell them about Jesus, because if you come as a church representative, they already know who you're representing. What they're looking for is do you care? And so all we've done over the last 18 months is just, I've joined every single community group that's happening in our area. I go to meetings all the time, and you love it. Sometimes they drive you nuts. But here's the interesting thing. Very, very shortly after we bought the pub was a stinky old building. It was horrible. We ran a community workshop there. We just said, look, if you want to use our facility, you can. The community came to it. We'd only been there probably about 3 months at that time. And during the morning tea, one of the ladies who's very, very much involved, she's from the council, she said, I'll do it. I want to have a chat with you. And she said, I just want you to know, I grew up in church, and I no longer go to church anymore because I felt the church wasn't relative to my life. And she said, I just want you to know that I really appreciate how much your church is involved in the community. And it was a really, you know, it was one of the, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, our church isn't actually involved in the community. I mean, really, if you were to look at it, I go along to a few meetings and we just open our doors to let people come in. But her perception was that because we were there with them, that we were involved and that we cared. Just recently, I'm part of one of our community groups. It's called One Community Together, and I'm part of a team looking at community life, and we come up with all these great ideas. Laura's actually on the same committee, and we had a smile and wave campaign. But we just ran the very first community awards night that our community has ever had, and it was just last Tuesday night, and we had a whole stack of people from our community gather together, and they were all given different people were given different awards, and it was just, I mean, for us, we run church every Sunday, right? So we actually had the awards night in the school building that we currently have church in. So we run church every week. So we're kind of like, we know how to run events. So they came along, and our team put together, when I say our team, the Spaces, the Community Spaces team, Spaces Life team, life, there's this. We put on this really, really good event, and it was a really professional event. It was a typical church service. Well, wasn't it? Church service, but it was like what we normally do. And the buzz afterwards, and the, it was, here's the thing, it was so easy. And the key is presence. Presence. You just got to be there. You've got to look for, it's not difficult to reach a community. You just got to go to them. And you might feel like you're an evangelist, but just got to look for ways that you can get involved. There are a lot of things that are happening in the community that, and they're crying out for assistance, they're crying out for volunteers. And what do churches have? We have volunteers, we have people. But even if you don't have very many people in your church that want to get engaged at the moment, you need one or two people to get out there and to get involved. And immediately, the message you send out of communities, the church cares. It's actually quite easy. Jesus won the world because he left home and came and lived with us. Presence is just so key.
Brilliant, Dermot. Yeah, two good news stories. We could go on.